Proverbs 16:21 says this: a wise, mature person is known for his understanding. The more pleasant his words, the more persuasive he is. The more pleasant his words, the more persuasive he is. If you want to be persuasive, you've got to be pleasant. So why don't you write this down? I'm never persuasive when I'm abrasive.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. As we continue in this series called Unshakable, which is based on the life of Daniel, you'll discover how to live for God no matter what comes your way. If you'd like to have the amazing Unshakable study kit, which contains 8 video sessions and a workbook, it's available right now by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word daily to 1-800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. Just ask for the Unshakable DVD study kit when you contact us. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called When You're Pressured to Conform.
Now, number two, the second key to making a case is to be humble, not belligerent. Be humble, not belligerent, because attitude determines acceptance. When I'm teaching you how to make a case to an authority, school, work, or whatever, I'm not teaching you how to make a demand. Daniel is not, once he's told this new law, he's going to have to eat this food. He doesn't make a sign said, I won't eat. And he, you know, protesting around the courthouse, I won't eat. No bad food, you know. He's not turning this into a national situation here. He's not rebelling. He's not hardening the attitudes. He's humbly going behind the scenes saying, can we work on this? Okay. Can we work this thing out? He's not making a demand. He's humble. He's not belligerent. Notice this verse. You might write it down. Proverbs 25, verse 6 says this. When you stand before the king, and anytime you see the word king in the Bible, it just means a leader, an authority. Anytime you see somebody, when you stand before somebody in authority, your boss or anybody else, the judge, whatever, don't try to impress him and pretend to be important. Like, well, we've got all this voting block here and we could really take you out of office, and you threaten them, threats never work. Be humble or you'll stumble. Develop a reputation for being responsible. Be humble, not belligerent. Okay, number three, don't be deceptive or manipulative. Don't be deceptive or manipulative. If you've got a case to make with the government, with the IRS, with your boss, with a teacher, anybody, and you're going, sorry, I just can't do this. Okay, it's against my conscience. It violates my beliefs. You can't lie about it. And if you try to strengthen your case by being deceptive or manipulative or deceitful, God does not honor dishonesty. And if you lie, God says, okay, you're on your own. You don't have my defense. I'm not going to help you out in this situation because you're lying about it. And so you don't try to strengthen your case with deception. Here's what the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 4:2. We reject all shameful and underhanded methods. In other words, we don't do office politics. We're not politicking behind the scenes to get the corner office. We reject all shameful and underhanded methods. We do not try to trick anyone, and we do not distort the word of God. This is integrity here. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know that. God will honor your honesty. Okay, number four. The fourth thing is to appeal to their goals and their interest. Appeal to their goals and their interest. The goals of those in authority or whoever making this law or policy that you can't abide by. You start with what they want, not what you want. Now, this is exactly what Daniel does, and he's very wise in doing this. And Daniel gets the people and goes, okay, let's look at this. I think we got the same goal here. We're just trying to get at it a different way. You want me to eat this food because the king thinks it'll make me more healthy. Okay, I don't have a problem with that. I want to be healthy. In fact, I want to be healthy more than you or the king want me to be healthy. So we don't have a problem with the ultimate goal. We're just disagreeing on how to get to that goal. You want me to be healthy, so let's talk about this. Could we try a 10-day test? Can you go with me that far? Can you make that step? How about we just try a 10-day test and see if it'll work this way? And then if it works, great. We got a win-win. You win, I win, everybody wins, everybody gets what they want. If it doesn't work, then you decide. Okay? You're still in charge. You're still the authority. But we're going to start with your goals. I wish Christians in politics would understand this principle, that you don't get your way by pressing people and creating wars over it. And so you appeal to their goals and their interests. Next law, number five, you must choose the right place, time, and words. Choose the right place, the right time, and the right words to appeal to the authority who've asked you to. And by the way, if you're a teenager and you wanna go out on Friday night and your parents say no, you need to use these laws, okay? I'm teaching you how to make a case to your parents on this. And the first thing is the right place. What's the right place? Always privately. You don't get authorities to change by confronting them publicly and standing on the courthouse steps. All you do is solidify their opposition. You make them mad. They can't lose face. They can't back down. But if you go back behind and in a humble and simple way, say, can we work this out? And you don't, you do it privately. You confront and you make a case and you make your appeal to an authority, any authority in your life, you do it privately. And then you do it at the right time. I would not advise you to lobby your parents when they're tired or they've had a bad day or they're frustrated or they haven't eaten yet. Wait till the glucose goes up in their body and they're a little more relaxed and they're not. There's the right time and the wrong time to bring up an issue with your husband, your wife, or anybody else. Right time. And then the right words means you should do it in a polite and pleasant way. Let me show you a verse. Write this down. Proverbs 16:21. Proverbs 16:21 says this. A wise, mature person is known for his understanding. The more pleasant his words, the more persuasive he is. The more pleasant his words, the more persuasive he is. If you want to be persuasive, you've got to be pleasant. That's what the Bible says. So why don't you write this down? I'm never persuasive when I'm abrasive. Write that down. I'm never persuasive when I'm abrasive. I wish I could teach that to politicians on both sides of the aisle. You don't build yourself up by tearing everybody else down. You're never persuasive when you're abrasive. If you've got an arrow to shoot, dip it in honey first. Okay? In other words, you want to, you catch more flies with honey than vinegar. So you be sweet. You're never persuasive when you're abrasive. Now, then number six, the sixth thing when you're making a case to authority is this. Trust God if they reject your appeal. Trust God if they reject your appeal. Now, in this case, Daniel's appeal worked. But if your appeal doesn't work and you've appealed to your boss, I can't do this, okay? Then you hold on to the promise of Romans 8:28. In Romans 8:28, that great promise says this, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love God according to his purpose. It's not a promise for everybody. It's a promise for those who love God and trust his purposes. God works for good. Not everything is good in the world. There are bad leaders in the world. There are bad laws in the world. There are bad policies in the world. There are bad people in the world. But God says, you know what? I can even use that for good in your life if you will trust me. All things will work together for good. Even the bad stuff. It's not good, but it's got to work it for good. Now, Daniel does all the right things in making his appeal. And as a result, he gets the exemption. He doesn't have to violate his conscience. Now, remember this. This kid is 15 years old. He's taking on the most powerful man in the world. He's challenging that guy. Where in the world did a teenager like that get that kind of wisdom, get that kind of grace, and get that kind of courage and that kind of discipline at that young an age? What gave Daniel the courage to stand alone and not conform to the values of his society? Well, Daniel lived in close relationship to God. Daniel walked with God. He knew God as his friend. He had God's presence in his life. He had God's promises in his heart. He had God's power in his spirit. He had God's people around him. He had God's protection. He just was fearless. Now, when you have to confront an authority in your life, this is going to happen in your life at some point if it hadn't already. You're going to have to make a moral stand at some point. You need to remember four things. Write these down. Four things you need to remember. When you feel like I'm all alone, I'm out here on a limb, and my boss or somebody's asked me to do something, I know, my boyfriend, anybody's asked me to do something I know is right, and I'm feeling all alone, you need to remember four things. Number one, I wrote them here on the board. First, I have Jesus with me. Jesus said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. So you're never really ever completely alone. You may feel alone in that moment, but you're not. Jesus is with you. He says, I am with you. Number two, he says, I have the Holy Spirit in me. I not only have Jesus with me, I've got God's Spirit in me. And the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, which means you have an unfair advantage. Because you guys got spirit in you and your carnal boss does not. So you have the Holy Spirit. Jesus with me, the Holy Spirit in me. Number three, I have the promises of God to me. There are over 6,000 promises from God to you in this book, in the Bible. And you can claim those promises when you are going through difficult times. And not only that, number four, I have God's family around me. I have God's family around me. I have brothers and sisters who are praying for me, which, by the way, is why you need to be a member of a church and why you need to be in a small group. If you don't have a small group, you're not in a member of a church, you're not going to have the support to stand alone when the heat's on in your life. What gave Daniel this enormous character strength? Evidently, this guy's parents did an incredible job on their kid. Daniel's parents must have been amazing. We don't know anything about them. But the fact that they had built enough character and commitment and conviction in this kid that when he's 15 years old, without them and any other support, he can take on the most powerful man in the world, they did a pretty good job as parents. They had taught this kid, 15-year-old kid, how to stand on his own, how to not cave under peer pressure, how to not give in to the conformity of culture. And they did a good job on that. I remember those days, and you do too, and I remember how grateful I am and was for some adults in my life when I was a teenager who just guided me in the right direction. My life could have gone way, way different than it did. Oh man, it could have just gone off the deep end. But there were some adult volunteers, they weren't cool, they just loved me when I was in school, and they helped me through those difficult days. And I'll always be grateful for that. History would be very, very different if those volunteers hadn't made a difference in my life. I went to a very big high school, thousands of students. From seventh grade through my freshman year in college, I was class president every year, every single year. And in my senior year and in eighth grade, I was student body president. Everybody knew me. So I was invited to every single wild party you could possibly imagine. And as a young man, I made a decision, like Daniel, that I was not going to defile myself. And because of some good adults in my life, somehow I made it all the way through school without ever having a drink of alcohol, smoking a joint, taking any drugs, smoking a cigarette, or having sex. I made it all the way through school without that. And it was because I had good people in my life. And yes, there were times when, now, I was the most popular person on the campus because everybody knew me. And where's Warren? He's not here at the party. And I do know that there were nights that I would sit at home and I'm going, well, it's a little lonely here because I'm not at the party to end all parties. But I look back and I am so grateful because just a few bad decisions in my life could have turned out very, very differently. And the commitments that I made and the adults who helped me keep those commitments allowed me to have the power and the blessing of God in my life in a very unusual way. Because like Daniel, I had made those decisions to say, I'm gonna have integrity and humility and courage and discipline and these kind of things. And I look back now toward the end of my life going, that was a small price to pay. And it is a myth that you cannot live for Christ and not be popular or be at the top or be loved and well-known and influential. It's just not true. Daniel excelled without compromising his convictions. And I've known it in many, many others besides myself. Now this message today is desperately needed, not just for kids, but for every single age. Because as I said, as the culture becomes more secular, more hostile to people of faith, more unbiblical and anti-Christian values, the pressure on you to conform is gonna go up and up and up and not go down. And how you respond to that is gonna determine how much God is able to bless your life and whether you will continue to be promoted and promoted in God's kingdom. So I want to end with just some clear advice from St. Paul. I'm going to read to you, and we'll close with this, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I love it out of the Message paraphrase, and it pretty much sums up the courage and the character of Daniel. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to the first verse of 7, chapter 7. Don't become partners with those who reject God. How can you make a partnership out of right and wrong? That's not partnership, that's war. Is light best friends with darkness? Does Christ go strolling with the devil? Do trust and mistrust hold hands? You know, belief and unbelief hold hands? Who would think of setting up pagan idols in God's holy temple? But that's exactly what we are. Each of us is a temple in whom God lives. God himself put it this way. I'll live in them and I'll move into them. I'll be their God and they'll be my people. So leave the corruption and the compromise. I'll be a father to you and you will be my sons and daughters. With promises like this, dear friends, let's make a clean break with everything that defiles or distracts us, both within and without. Let's make our entire lives fit and holy temples for the worship of God. Let's bow our heads. The world desperately needs Daniels today. Character doesn't matter anymore to most people. It just doesn't matter. But God is looking for men and for women who are unafraid of challenging our culture, who are unafraid of the disapproval of others. Men and women who are Daniels, modern day Daniels, who have conviction and character rather than compromise and caving in to culture. Instead of conforming, they are being transformed by by God. And this is my challenge to you. Regardless of what's happened in the past of your life, your past is past, it's over. What matters is the direction your feet are headed right now. Will you have the courage to be a Daniel in your culture? Will you have the courage to be a Daniel where you work, as a man of God, as a woman of God? Will you be a Daniel and have the courage to stand for your convictions where you live, where you go to school, on that campus? You might just pray, dear God, I want to be a Daniel. I want to be a person of integrity and humility and generosity and discipline and courage. And I want your blessing on my life more than I want the approval of our culture. And I'm willing to stand unafraid and unashamed. God, you have told us what to do. Now give us the courage to do it. In your name, amen.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. If you'd like a copy of today's message or the whole series, just go to PastorRick.com. And while you're there, go ahead and sign up for Pastor Rick's free daily email devotional, and be sure to check out all the other great resources available to you. As we look at the unprecedented things going on in our world today, it's clear that we need to be equipped with the resources to handle whatever life throws at us. That's why Pastor Rick has asked his team to make available to you a DVD study kit called Unshakable, which is based on the life of Daniel. In these 8 powerful video sessions, Rick teaches you how to handle life's most unexpected circumstances and extreme pressures, how to avoid compromising on what you believe is right in God's eyes, how to handle success, how to learn from your mistakes, and how to pray the kind of prayers that God answers. This study is perfect for your individual quiet time or in a small group setting. To get your copy of the Unshakable DVD study kit, just go to PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
I love letting you hear some of the letters that we receive every day here at Daily Hope. Here's one from a woman named Bonnie. She says, "Dear Pastor Rick, my husband Tom and I both receive your Daily Hope print devotional in our email every morning. We take turns each day reading the daily devotional." They must read it aloud. "And it's a great way to start our day along with our individual daily quiet time. It's been such a blessing and encouragement to us in each of our daily lives, and sometimes I'm able to turn on the podcast and we listen to the broadcast as well. Now, we've both been Christians for a long time, but that daily encouragement from you helps us keep on track, and it helps us make our lives so much richer as we follow God every day. So thanks, and may God continue to bless you and use you for many more years to come. Blessings to you, Pastor Rick, Bonnie, and Tom." Hey, thanks for writing, Bonnie. It always blesses me when we hear that Daily Hope is helping other people grow strong in the Lord. So just keep it going. And to all of you, God bless you all. Write me when you can. Send in a gift when you can. Pray for us when you can. But be sure to join me next time as we look into God's Word for our Daily Hope.
This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.